Want to support the show? Tell three friends about the show. Get them to subscribe on iTunes. Hell, subscribe on iTunes yourself if you're not already. And tune in live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast this Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific. That's when we're back.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun.
Welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lanzini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you on this fine day, sir?
Well, I'm under it.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I just mean there's a ton of stuff going on across the street.
You are underwhelmed?
Yes, I am now.
You're overwhelmed.
Listen, for a house that has so few creatures moving, there's a lot of activity.
So you got a lot of animals down, you got a lot of humans down.
Well, Luna needed a break. Mommy needed a break. So she took off, and a well-earned one, well-deserved. Yeah. She had to cover the house while I was gone. So anyway,
you're such a good man.
It's Diego, please don't. No. In the middle of one of the biggest fights I've had in a while. I can't stop.
All right, let me say what you're thinking then. Do you need a break after your week?
Believe me, after I've had
what are we at? Almost 20 years coming up on 20 years, and you need a break from your week because it was it hard for you?
It was hard to come back.
Did you hunker down? Did you?
I had to. Diego's had wisdom teeth out. It was supposed to be two. It turned into four.
Yeah,
and so he's just miserable and won't lift a finger to do anything. Unlike usual circumstances.
So he's out of his normal behavior.
Well, here's the thing, is that he's irritable and unhelpful. Usually he's just unhelpful, but nicely.
Did I mention at your birthday party, just because you brought it up, I thought it was just funny to catch it from the side, is that I'm always curious and interested. This happens a lot in my life. I'm sure you are not surprised sitting across from me while we do this show that I will hear people that clearly their children have a different household than not only I grew up in, but then my own children are also growing up in. Your wife, very frazzled from putting together your fantastic 50th birthday party.
Yes.
She's running around trying to make everything perfect. And I could tell, and I wish there was some way I could relieve the stress from her. I was just put it on my shoulders. I can handle it. Give it to me.
Right.
What can I do for you? And of course, the one thing she asked me to do, I could not accomplish, which was that Beats by Dre pill thing. So, heads up, stick to the Japs when making electronics. Kidding.
Yes.
So he goes, I am of no help to you. I mean, you treat me like I'm an 8-year-old right now. And I just think of like, what do you have going on? It's not, you know what I mean? It was very funny. So, good.
Yes.
Good that you're living the life, I guess.
Right. So this would normally be, I would enjoy being over here, but all I am is panicked.
Oh, you're panicking what's going across
the street?
He's
going to fall in the shower, or the dog is going to start barking her head off, or something's going to go sideways.
Let's crank this bitch out.
Absolutely.
Let's make her happen, Captain. I have a little bit of something I want to do that's rarely. Sometimes on the show, I do something that is entirely self-serving. And, this is one of those moments. I've been debating whether or not I want to play this. Here's the thing. I want to play it because I think it's pretty cool, and I'm pretty happy about it. Probably more proud of it than I should be anything. That's probably true. I'm probably overly proud of this.
Yes.
But if anything, you guys can make fun of me.
It's not your part-time job, is it?
No.
Okay. That you're appropriately proud of.
I don't like to rub. You know what I mean? I put my pants on one leg at a time.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Sure. I just do it for without benefit.
For each of the three legs you've got.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And no dental. when I was a kid, I used to have a paper route, as I've said before, and my father made me get. And so when you're a kid and you get up in the morning, this is back in the days of, for the teenagers that are listening, we used to have a thing called a Walkman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was one
of the, tell me about this ancient technology, Grandpa.
Well, you had a phonograph? Is that what they called it?
Yeah.
A Victrola?
Yeah, I had to carry it on my shoulder. Yeah.
The genesis of the boombox.
Yes.
But you just hand cranked it like a monkey on the street making coins. So we had this Walkman that was at FM radio that was so cool. And I would put on some, you didn't have earbuds. You had to wear full-blown headphones there.
Sure, sure. Lucky it wasn't a helmet.
I know, right? I would have brain cancer by now. And I would listen to morning radio. And unbeknownst to me then as a young age when I would be laughing my butt off in, 30. I know people live in the Midwest who know what real winter is, but at this point I had no perspective in my life. So when you're, 12, a 10-year-old delivering papers on your bicycle and it's 38 degrees outside and you live in California, that's really cold.
That is cold for California.
And I would laugh a lot at a radio show that I don't know. When did you move to Los Angeles? What year?
About 20 years ago.
20 years ago. So you're well aware of Mark and Brian. Yes, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So Mark and Brian, for anybody, it was syndicated. So some of you might even have known, were huge in, I would say, the late 80s to, mid-90s. And then it was kind of like there was a taper down, fair to say.
Yeah.
Maybe not here in Los Angeles. But they were nationally syndicated.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the big. And then has been known, I now know, in the world of radios that stations get purchased and sold and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the station that syndicated Mark and Brian, they were sold and Bob and Tom came in. And I enjoyed Bob and Tom. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed them, but I did not enjoy them as much as Mark and Brian. So cut to me saying, you know what, I don't want to do stand-up so much. I would really like to be able to get into radio, maybe be even more of a family guy where I wouldn't have to travel all the time.
And, yeah.
And one of the first morning shows that was, I could say, like, oh my gosh, it's a classic rock. All the morning shows or anything that was looking for an on-air personality was a Christian station, which I applied for. and I really wanted to be like, welcome to JoJo and the Heathen in the morning.
I'd love to hear that. Yes.
We're going to do a counterpoint. And so anyway, there's a classic rock station out here called 100.3 The Sound. And they said, oh, Mark Thompson is coming back to radio. And I was like, I don't know who fucking Mark Thompson is.
Oh my God.
I applied for the station. And then I did some research into who Mark Thompson was. And Mark Thompson is Mark of Mark and Brian.
Right.
So I was applying to be the third banana on that show. And they wanted a woman. So obviously I was out of the running, but I was lucky enough to
You were close.
It was close. I was willing. In retrospect, I would have gladly removed my genitals to get on this show.
You would have gendered that.
This show is already blowing up. I'm sorry, but just allow me this. It went from 25th in L.A. In stations to 6th in a matter of 3 months.
Wow.
3 to 4 months. And radio people I've talked to said that's an anomaly, but I don't know. So anyway, I met with the program director at 100.3 The Sound, and he was very helpful in giving me advice on what to do with my getting into radio. And he kind of said, he goes, listen, there's not a lot of positions available, so it's going to be hard. He said, if you're going to have a shot, it's going to be through building your audience on your podcast. That's going to be your best shot.
Right.
So I was like, okay. And he goes, but I would like to find a way to get you in and contributing here to the morning show if possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been pitching him some ideas and everything like that. But I love the show. I listen. It's called Mark in the Morning. You can get it as a podcast if you want. And so here's a little bit that they did. To give you a little bit of backstory, evidently there's a Laker. I don't know if he's still going to play for the Lakers. I know they're in their offseason, but his name is Swaggy P. Anybody who follows the pop music or whatever, his girlfriend is Iggy Azalea. And,
sure.
Yeah, so he recently proposed to her, for a heads up on that, if you want to have something to talk to about with your teenage daughter.
Right.
And so what happened was they put out a press release because he had a lot of celebrity friends here in L.A. And so when they said, Mark's coming back, if you want to give him a welcome message. Well, evidently, Swaggy P played for USC when he was in college and used to listen to Mark and Brian. So he was like, yo, 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 what up, what up? Mark and Brian back in the hood. Like he did
so
one of those.
So he's a white guy.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So he leaves this message and then they kind of have a chat, all right? And then he says, yeah, I'll come on the air once the basketball season is over. Cut to the Billboard Awards aired. So this is about 3-4 weeks old.
Yes.
Billboard Awards air, and he sees him there with Iggy Azalea, and he has this message for Swaggy P.
Studio. The other night on the Billboard Music Awards, I saw Mark. Swaggy P. Hey, Swaggy. It's me, Skid Marky Mark. I saw you in the audience at the Billboard Awards sitting here with Iggy. And I realized that you have not yet visited me in the studio. Allow me, Swaggy, to refresh you of your own words.
Listen, man, I know that you're on the road with the Lakers. I so appreciate you finding a way to give us a call, and I will hound you until you walk in this building, okay?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I'll be in there, man. Don't trip. You know, Swaggy's gonna be in there.
Are you tripping now?
This is Mark tripping.
I am so tripping.
Don't. He said don't.
He said he distinctly said don't trip.
And I am
here
tripping.
You are, tripping all over the place.
Swaggy, how are we to be bloods? If we ain't...
What?
What?
No.
God.
No.
Remember that part.
Careful which words you pick, too.
Let's see where this goes.
This is Los Angeles.
Let's let this play out.
Choose your words carefully, my friend.
Bloods.
How are we to be bloods?
Don't.
If we ain't up in the hood as bros having a 1-1 love.
I feel like I need to give him a lesson.
Mikey, go ahead and grab that for my ringtone.
Yeah.
You need to come see me here at my hizzle.
Oh.
Up in here. Up in here.
Up in here. Up in here.
We can chill with some scissorp and mad beezy. And we will get blunted. Don't make me go all 7:30.
You.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Mark, what's Mad Beezy?
What's scissor? Well,
I'd like to finish the comedy, please, and then I'll take questions.
Wow.
Don't make me go all 7:30. Let's you and me get stunting. And once you and I are chill, I'll pull out a big face and take you to the flickety-flack in my hoopty cab. Skid Marky Mark out.
So that was his the follow-up to that. And this is what I love. That entire bit, I don't know if anybody felt the same way I did. I thought it was very funny, but his entire supporting cast was doing nothing but shitting all over what he was doing.
Right.
And it's very interesting.
They could take a lesson from a certain era. Go on.
Right? Maybe you should hold a class, Paco.
Maybe they should have their job.
Right. Well, that's what I was sitting there. I was like, man, it's interesting because it's literally called Mark in the Morning. But anyway.
You could have talked him down. You could have talked over him.
So here's what's happening. So they played that a couple times, and I had the same thought. Remember where he said bloods?
Yeah.
The Andy, who's great on the show, absolutely great on the show, but he is, and I don't know if it's on purpose, but he is a little bit of a comedic wet blanket because, shocker, why I like him is that Mark is inappropriate. So I'm a big fan, and Andy is always like, oh, come on, man. So I just put a little comment on a Facebook page for the morning show, and this is the result of that comment.
There's another quick letter here, too, by the way. This is from Justin Worsham. It says, my favorite part of the Swaggy message that Mark left is Andy being concerned that the Crips of Los Angeles are in your demo.
Yeah, that's a very good point, by the way.
Well, I suppose he has a point with that.
All right, when we come...
Now, I have never been happier about a laugh in my entire life than that right there. I've played
this. The Swaggy message that Mark left is Andy being concerned that the Crips of Los Angeles are in your demo.
Yeah, that's a very good point, by the way.
Well,
you hear that clapping?
That the Crips of Los Angeles are in your demo.
Yeah, that's a very
that clapping
good
is Mark Thompson clapping and Justin
well,
Worship's humor.
He has a point with that.
Look at the long laugh, too. It came after. I was sitting there cooking dinner listening to the podcast of that episode.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I go, did he just say my name?
You dropped the pots and pans.
Like it's a horror. Of,
yes.
Like aliens are attacking. No, I was sitting there and I just kind of went and looked. I go, did he just say my name? I go, oh my gosh, I'm having a stroke. It's happening. I'm here by myself with the kids.
It's like in the movies, like about the Beatles or the early, and they hear their song on the radio for the first time.
It was.
They're running around the kitchen with their hair in curlers.
Adam. I have never been so emotionally moved by a laugh in my entire
That's
life.
That's fantastic.
I have listened That's to that fantastic. Nothing short of 20 times. And I went, because it was a podcast, I used that 15-second bump, and I just kept going back because I didn't believe it. I didn't, and I was sitting there, and it was funny because after the third time I heard it, the boys were in the living room, I think, watching cartoons, and Jacob goes, hey, Dad, that's you! Like, he just, because he heard my name.
Right.
And I was just sitting, and it was just this, I don't know, like, it was very weird for me because I had easily, it sounds like a really douchey thing to say, but it's like, in my mind, I at first I was like, why am I cried. I cried in my own damn kitchen. Right, I was sitting there because he clapped. Let's hear it one
There's
more time.
There's another quick letter here, too, by the way. The swaggy message that Mark left is Andy being concerned that the Crips of Los Angeles are in your demo.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
It's a very good point. Hear him going?
Well, I suppose he has a point with that.
Still going.
All right.
That is a solid 7 seconds of laughter from one Mark Thompson induced by one Justin Ward.
Oh, I have so much to say.
So it was a nice culmination, I guess, of a full circle type thing. Absolutely. For me that I was like, when Natalie came home, I said, "What?" And I did this little setup thing. I've chopped the audio out. I did not pull that to play on the podcast. I pulled that for my own perseveration. Like,
sure.
I'm gonna, because here's the thing: if I ever get my shot to appear on Mark in the Morning,
oh yeah,
I am bringing that audio in.
I bet you are.
And I'm going to say to them how much that meant to me, because it's ginormous, and it's such a weird thing, because I just said it as a fan, like I wasn't.
But meanwhile, you put it on repeat on your shuffle, and you're jerking off to it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh, so much! Right. How dare you? How dare you? Just
no. Sorry, I don't mean to be the wet blanket.
Not a wet blanket. You're just a soiled, crusty one.
Well, yeah, but you don't know what it's wet from.
Exactly. You're almost retired washcloth on top of beautiful touching moment.
It's a beautiful story. This full circle of it. I love everything about it. I also love, I think I lost it. No, to me, what I was thinking was they could have had that.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah.
They could have had that every fucking day.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I'm not you in there.
I know you can't be that way.
I can't. Well, no, I can't be that guy. I can't come in off the street. You don't.
Oh, no. I wasn't suggesting you walk in and go.
No. I'm saying what you're saying. I would. Right. I think what you're saying is that if they would have hired me, I could have been there to provide that on a consistent basis.
See.
Is what you're saying? Yes.
Yeah.
So the thing is,
you're funnier than anything else I heard,
which is very flattering. But the issue is that I am a guy who has not really been on air a lot, so I don't have the experience, and I don't know that I could do it. If you want to hear something along those lines, you should listen to the – it's not coming out. If you're listening live right now, it's not going to come out till probably next week, but it is one of the latest episodes of Justin is Married, Booker is Single. We have an episode coming out where the aftermath of him walking out and meeting my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Have we gone over that on this show?
Well, you went over the initial part of it.
Yeah, so after the fact – man, we're not going to get to any of these stories. You were right before I got to it. So go back and listen to – actually, it's easier because it's already recorded. Just go listen to Justin is Married, Booker is Single, episode 25 and 26. Those are the two. 25 is all about the aftermath of the mother-in-law. And then 26, he said something that was – there's an AM talk station in San Diego that's looking for a host. So I asked him for advice. I was like, you know, when I put together an air check for that – and he knows I have this job at KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio, iHeart Media app, if you want to listen from anywhere. I'm going to be producing the Tim Conway Jr. show in July.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. Good nice times, good times. So anyway, possibly. I'm playing. Here's what happened is that I was doing the bit of being the douchey guy, and then I realized it does kind of sound real. It kind of sounds real, yeah. But I still am part time. But anyway, so I was like, because I wanted to be on air. And so I thought, he goes, you've arrived. He goes, you are in. He was yelling at me. He goes, you idiot. Why would you go to San Diego? You're in the Golden Palace. He said, you, 2 years ago, you and I sat at Bob's Big Boy and you asked about improving your podcast. In 2 years, you've built a studio that is more complex than any studio I've ever been, which I was shocked, number one.
Right.
Because he works for CBS Radio. But anyway, maybe he's just being hyperbolic to be humorous. something now.
maybe.
Flattering. And he goes, and then a year after that, he says, you have the job. He goes, and you're doing stuff on air. Like, you get to go and do bits. I did a bit on a Conway show last week. What was it? June? What day is today?
Well, just play us the clip.
I don't have it. I don't know what that means. But it's funny because they Bill Handel, if you want to listen to the first hour of the Bill Handel show on Tuesday, June 9th, I think it was, he makes fun of me for being a 37-year-old intern making minimum wage, right, which was fun. But he says, now you've done it. He goes, just sit back. So it's very flattering, and I hope it works out that I could be on the air at some point. So enough of that bullshit. Blah, 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 yakety schmackety. I apologize for that self-indulgence, but it was a very, very big moment for me, and I thought it was hilarious. Literally, how emotional I was crying in my kitchen.
That's really very sweet.
Yeah. So here's some fun. Speaking of fun audio, we are actually going to get to the stories. I'm going to do emails another time because I want to get to this. This is so great.
Okay.
One of the stories that I found while pulling stuff for this morning show is, and some of you may have heard this on terrestrial radio already. I don't know if it would have been national news, but this is local here to the Los Angeles area. Have you heard of this, Paco? The California high school teacher assigned students to take selfies with parents' sex toys?
No,
you have not heard of this.
That. Well, wait, where did this happen?
This happened. In Encino High School in Alameda, I think is what I'm looking at.
Well, not here in Burbank.
Not here in Burbank.
Not at John Burroughs High School.
Not at John Burroughs High School. So you're safe.
Yeah,
you're all safe.
We're good.
Well, that's kind of my point. Let's listen to the audio of that.
Well, teacher is accused of offering students some X-rated extra credit. Parents tell Night Beat's Andre Borba the assignment was simple: take a selfie with a sex toy.
High school geometry class filled with.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Everybody, I think, when you hear that lead in, you're like, oh, well, it's just a quirky way of, you know, like I'm imagining some kind of, you know, lesbian, hairy armpitted sex ed teacher, you know, with, even though she's white, she's got dreadlocks, you know, that chick that smells like patchouli oil and intense BO at the same time.
Right.
That she's just
There's a stink battle going on.
They're toys because we all should be welcoming to them the same way we would a little wooden blocks for a toddler.
No different than a yo-yo.
Right, but it's a geometry teacher.
Okay.
A geometry teacher. And it's
triangles, right angles, and these moms say one wrong turn. One teacher's idea of extra credit?
It was to go into your parents' private drawers or whatever to seek out sexual toys or condoms or anything of that nature and to take a selfie with it.
Mothers Kimberly Cobain and Evangeline Garcia heard about the sex toy selfie last month from a counselor at an after-school program.
So I don't know if that timeline jives, but it sounds like a month ago this happened, and now everybody's just catching wind of it, which I also love.
Last day of school, it sounds like, near the last day of school.
From a counselor at an after-school program their sophomore daughters attend.
From what I understand, a student actually did it, and he used that as an example to what it should look like for the other students.
High school administrators implied to the moms
What should look like?
So one kid did the assignment, the extra credit assignment.
Right. As far as we know, one kid.
Went home and took the selfie, and then when he turned it in, I guess what everybody's expectation was is that when this kid turns it in, the teacher would be like, no, I was kidding. Why would you do this? That was just an offhanded, inappropriate joke I said in a lecture or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he said, okay, Sam did the extra credit, everybody. So I made copies for all of you so that you could get an example. Look at his compass. That's the other part. It's not an art class. It's not a photography class.
This whole thing has me baffled.
It's great. I love every minute of it.
And he used that as an example to what it should look like for the other students.
High school administrators implied to the moms it might have been a joke.
We don't know. It might have been a joke, guys. I mean,
that geometry teacher is in the wind, and we can't really nail down.
Exactly. It's just so great that the administrators go, it might have been a joke. And what I love about this is that if there is one group of people that are really known for their humor, it is principals. You know what I mean? Like, throughout the years, it is geometry teachers. Well, here's the way. It's so, like, humor level, right? Yes. I would probably say number one, as far as the most funniest person ever, would be like a politician.
Yeah, Supreme Court justices.
Supreme Court justice.
Yes.
Then politician. Then probably principal. Then I would probably say, I think a biology teacher is funnier than a geometry teacher.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
Oh, definitely.
But it goes, and then history teacher, but below biology teacher is history teacher. And then comes geometry teacher.
I think so.
And then bottom of that, you know, these are all very funny people.
Yeah.
But on the bottom of that, computer literacy. I know that Mr. Mr. Right. Wiener, as I like to call him, didn't get the joke. He said it's Weiner.
Right. Goes, I'm sure he
that's a lose-lose, Mr. Wiener.
Right.
He did not get that joke, but he's still very funny.
Yes.
Very,
yes.
very funny.
Yes.
It's a geometry class. Even if it was a sex education class, I think that's a little far out.
But I'm thinking if the kids took it as a joke, why did one kid take it?
That's a mom, by the way. This is a mom talking right here. It sounds like a kid, but it's
and
a mom.
The kids took it as a joke. Why did one kid take it serious and actually did the extra credit work and it was showed as an example in class if it was taken as a joke?
Now, this is what I love. This is why we as parents are all stupid. Her argument, she's on television, and her argument was like, well, if it's a joke, then why did one kid do it? Because it's funny, you dumb bitch. That's
right.
To
also,
the kid.
Maybe he didn't get the joke.
That's also could be true.
It doesn't change it from being
yeah,
a joke.
It doesn't
exactly.
And it doesn't. The fact that it's a joke has no bearing on whether or not it is appropriate in a geometry school setting. That
right.
should be whatever.
Right.
If you really want to come
whether
at
whether it was
this,
a joke or not, it doesn't matter.
Does
there
not
is
matter.
No set of circumstances, art class, sex ed class, anything
yes.
where this is remotely appropriate. In any kind of school setting with minors.
But this is the world that we're living in now. We're living in this time where it's like we're all so worried about being offensive or it's like we don't want to be too inappropriate, but we don't want to be prudish at the same time. So everybody's
yeah.
like, well, if it's a joke, then why did something? Everybody's talking
then
about it's a joke.
It funny?
We're all coming after the joke thing. And here's
right,
the thing.
Right.
It's very funny. It is very funny. I pay taxes on being funny, and it is very funny for a kid to take a selfie with their parent's sex toy and turn it in for extra credit. That is some Andy Kaufman level edgy fucking comedy is what that is.
Right.
But it's here's what we should be going after, though, is that I think that's what they're kind of trying to do is like, what's the logic? What is the logic to say at what point? Because this geometry teacher has to be just saying to themselves, I don't want to work anymore. I don't want to have a job. You know what I mean? That's what I imagine. This is his Jerry Maguire. Who's coming with me?
Right.
Who's coming with me and Flipper here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's just like, he's going two, you know, fucking single finger salutes. Fuck you all. I'm out, bitches. And guess what, Mrs. Johnson? I know that you like a rabbit headed dildo. You're welcome.
Right, exactly. Well, you see.
You fuck your husband with a two-sided black dick.
I sort of felt like it might have been. I mean, I can't imagine the thought process of the teacher who thinks that there's any way he can even get away with it
yes!
as a joke.
In a world where you can't be a hot woman fucking an underage child without getting busted in some way, shape, or form, how do you think you're going to be some asshole nerdy That's... geometry teacher who can get pictures of the parents' sex toys and get away with it?
I like that the Mrs. Robinson is the standard that you're, the meter that
it
you're
It is! Mentioned. Because all I can think of, the fact that they just keep coming about, like there's just more hot teachers banging young students, the fact that that keeps happening just really makes me believe that it's happening everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking pissed off about it.
Right.
I want to fucking Marty McFly and go back in time and make everybody aware that, listen, Mrs. Myers, I would have fucked the shit out of you after chemistry class. And I would have been, listen, I would have been severely embarrassed, but I would have kept my mouth fucking shut.
Yep, exactly.
And she was nowhere near as hot as some of these like 24-year-old
right.
blondes that these guys are banging.
Now, you know that nobody who hears your voice right now can believe that you would have kept your mouth shut.
I would have.
You would be,
no,
you'd be talking about it now.
There are two things. There are two things that I keep my mouth shut. And those two things are sex.
Okay.
I don't know what the second one is.
Case closed.
I think I was going to go for a joke of like pedophilia or something
that.
But,
right.
But in my mind, I was like, no, because I got. Here's the thing.
We wouldn't
I like
take
to
it
joke.
As a joke.
I like to joke about sex and everything, but I don't really get into the nitty gritty of, you know, I don't like to. Like, here's the thing. In all honesty, my family took me for my 21st birthday to Tahoe. And my wife, Natalie, she was on the cruise ship, I believe, at the time.
Meaning
yes,
with
she was.
You?
No.
Oh, okay.
She was a dancer on a cruise ship. This is just
ship.
Before we got
okay.
married. And my birthday's in January. She got her contract in October. We got married in July. Yes, so this all jives. So I'm going out with them. and we're in Tahoe, and my sister-in-law wanted to take me to one of the burlesque-type shows. Oh, well, there's a 9 o'clock show that the... Wait, do we have it? Oh, yeah, this one? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. So we're going.
So you and your sister.
Me and my sister-in-law.
That's sister-in-law.
And even technically, he's my stepbrother, so we could have a fucking three-way. Yeah. Oh, God, that gave me the heebie-jeebies. I tried so hard. I tried so hard, and I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Not that my sister-in-law's not beautiful. Oh, now it's getting weird. No, it's kidding. No. My sister... No, I'm kidding. So here's the thing. So she takes me to the topless show. The 10 o'clock show is topless, and that... I'm super embarrassed about that.
The performers are.
Yes. Okay. Yes, they're by my drool. And they're, yeah. I'm like, don't trip here. I spit.
Right.
No, and it's funny because even when I've only been to one strip club, I can enjoy porn, and I wouldn't call myself to be uptight, but there's just something about blatantly, exploiting women for their breasts.
Yes.
That skeeves me a little bit.
Oh, I thought you said that makes you happy.
No,
it makes you sense.
It skeeves me. It makes me feel inappropriate. Like, here's the thing. Guys, I think the guys that love to go to strip clubs, like, just real, not the guys who are like, yeah, that'd be fun. Who doesn't like to see boobs? I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the guys that are like, need to go. You know, maybe even, I don't even think it's Dr. J. I think Dr. J does it because he has money. And I think it's because he's divorced and his kids are grown up. And he's like, what the fuck else am I going to do? That's my vibe. I don't know. Maybe we'd have to ask him. But I think the guys who really, really like it, they kind of, you know, Dr. J is kind of charming. Anyway, here's my point. He is. But here's the thing. I think that the guys that go there, they don't understand that the girls aren't really into them. Or maybe the girls are into it and they do like it. And it's just my own mommy bullshit or something, you know? But I just feel like I see you're faking it. And I would much rather have somebody genuinely be interested in me. So these girls, and I put my hat down so I could barely, just seeing ankles, bare ankles, like I was Amish, you know? I'm like, oh my God, look at this. Like it was fucking some Muslim from the Middle East, like, oh, those ankles, I kill for them. So anyway, then the girls would like, they had these ice cubes that they were wheeling up on, and that one of them had her boobs like pushed up, and she wheeled forward and she goes, hi, because they knew it was my birthday. My sister-in-law told them, so they sat me in the front, and the comedian that was hosting the show made fun of me and all that
comedian.
Stuff. Comedian. Yeah, exactly. Comedian is what he called himself. Right? That deserves it.
There you go.
But to get back to this story at hand here, I can't remember why I went out on that tirade, but let's continue with the story. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say that I appreciate a bare bosom as much as the next guy. I just don't feel compelled to watch them as in a crowd.
Okay.
There's nothing. The bosom experience is enhanced by having other people around me.
Yeah, it's not like a sporting event for you where you go. Although that would be a fun bit if I had my own talk show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a late night show. I would definitely go to a strip club and be the guy who sits next to somebody, and they would have to blur out all the boobs or whatever, but just be like, tap the guy on the shoulder, like, huh? Right? And just to creep them out, you know, because we all do. I think guys, when they go to the strip club, they do treat it like you're in their car. Like, I would imagine that they kind of have to put blinders on. You know what I mean? So you'll pick your nose while you're at a strip club because you're just subconsciously not aware that people can see you through the glass around
your hands
you.
Your are too busy.
What? But ironic, nobody's doing that. What if I just started doing that? Go, right? And just say, look, I'm cranking it. That'd be fun. All right, back to the story.
The accused teacher is still in the classroom, and they aren't getting any answers from the district.
We don't feel comfortable with our children in his presence. And so all they could tell us was, oh, it's an HR issue. It's being investigated.
So this is what I love, too. The moms are saying we don't feel comfortable. Now, maybe I'm crazy. But there's always that thing where you always wonder, like, I think we all could, you watch these things on the news and people go, yes, I am supposed to be angry about that. But I'm asking the people listening, and maybe even you, is that how really angry are you about that thing? Like when some moron goes and has a morning show or a TV show and he says some kind of racist thing, you know, that's how credible. I think it's just discredits them entirely. It's like, how aghast are you about Brian Williams lying about being on a Black Hawk helicopter or whatever that bullshit was? You know what I mean? Like, no, I'm not really truly offended. I think I look at him and I go, that's sad that you're like, here you are living this great life.
Right.
You know, you're going to all these places and yet you still feel like you have to amp it up a notch. Like,
that's exactly the phrase you should use about the geometry teacher. He's got this great life. He's going to all these places.
No, he doesn't.
But he still feels he has to amp it up a notch.
His fucking life is shapes and he's trying to, you know what I mean? That's his life. That's how excited can you get up in the morning? The peak of his day is saying the word trap. trapezoid, I would imagine.
Right.
That's just, it rolls out of your mouth.
Sounds like the beginning of his day is saying the word dildo.
Well, now he found a new one. He found a new...
I'm trying to figure out in a geometry context, what possible justification even as a joke.
There isn't one.
I can't get there.
There's no way.
I can't get there. Here's the thing. I think the moms that are voicing the objections the loudest are the ones with the biggest.
Yes.
The biggest
vibrators. That's exactly what I thought. Yeah. That's exactly what I was like. The real reason why
he did what?
Yes. The real reason why you're afraid is because you don't want what is hiding in that dark, hidden back right corner of your underwear drawer to be exposed to Instagram.
To the cloud, yes.
You do not want that out there. But what I thought, that's what I thought. When I heard her say, we don't feel comfortable around our child, I'm like, he's not doing anything really to the kids. And I think that there's a subconscious thing, because that's what I would do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really be offended, I don't think. But I would be like, what if, I know my wife has something, I'm sure. You know what I mean? Like, we're not so prudish to where here's the thing. I know at one point she had a toy of some kind, but I think it's like one of those things as a gift. That's why unfortunately, I think the thing that could bring a lot of pleasure to people, especially ladies, but ladies, some ladies don't feel comfortable going out and getting it. My wife isn't necessarily uptight about that stuff, but it's not something she goes, you know what? If I've got $50, what I'm going to spend it on.
Well, $12.95.
I don't know how much they cost.
Well, I don't know either.
Yeah, you don't go cheap on your vibrator, though. If there's two guys, if we talk about, you know, breastfeeding and these are the things that we are credible sources to talk about.
Right.
I feel like if I'm shoving something up in me, you don't go cheap on that. You know what I mean? I don't want hard plastic. You know what I mean? I want something that I want to get as real. I want a
$17.95.
I want a throbbing vein in there of some kind.
This is never. No one is ever going to believe the words that are coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
But I bought a prop for a play that I directed. That involved a
is that for that U-Porn festival you were a part of?
That's exactly. That involved a life-size sort of realistic-looking member.
Uh-huh.
But it had to have jiggle in it because it's funnier than
just a little bit
than jiggle if it's rigid. You know, somebody pulls it out of the gift box.
But it didn't vibrate, so you wanted it to have like a whoa.
Not too much, but just enough for the sake of the comedy. And that was in the $17.95 range.
That was, okay. Well, listen, I don't know. This is the other reason why I think people are really upset about this, is that I feel like, so what if whatever is in my drawer, like we have my sister-in-law does all this creepy shit to me. For my honeymoon, the day before my wedding, they bought me an actual doll, like a cyber sex doll.
Really?
I didn't get a bachelor party with an actual stripper.
Wow.
I got a fucking blow up doll.
That's sad.
It was already inflated. And then what's great about it, I was like, what the hell is it? And because it's my family, we actually had a conversation where my sister-in-law explained to me the features of this. She goes, that is cyber. So it's a regular plastic, like vinyl inflated doll. But the bunghole and hoo-hoo are made of a material this is almost 20 years ago, called cyber sex.
Oh.
Not cyber sex. What is it? Cyber skin, sorry. So it's so real, it feels real to the touch, and it's very malleable or whatever. And and it's so great. But it's a through hole.
Straight through.
I don't know if you knew this, but if you evidently bone a girl in the hoo hoo,
far enough,
if you're big enough, you could come out the other end. That's what I was like, and all I kept thinking is like, wow, this is kind of cool. You know, I'm sure it feels really good.
Yes.
But at the same time, no matter what, you're banging a doll. Like, there has to be a point in the middle, or probably just after you finish, that you're like...
Where the shame overtakes.
And then you have to clean it. If guys are fans of swallowing, you understand? If you have to clean up.
Swab it out after.
Yeah.
Listen, remember how nobody believed me when I told my dildo story?
Yeah.
The same thing is happening now.
What? Nobody believes me?
Oh, yeah. Your intense understanding of what it must feel like afterwards.
I fucked it.
Oh, okay.
I was getting there.
It came out the other side.
It did. It did. I don't think I hit the tip of the bunghole. I'll be honest. I mean, I gave her a good what for.
Yeah.
And I'll be 100% honest. It was more scientific than it was pleasure.
Good.
My wife was, where was she? She was gone or something. So I was like, I'll try this.
Yeah,
what the hell?
I have a teenage son who could take pictures of it if you.
I still have it, I think, if he wants to borrow it. It's probably a little dried and crusted.
That's what we need.
She's in her 60s now, so it doesn't work. But it is exactly as I imagined. Or maybe that was a self-fulfilling prophecy. But yeah. Once I was finished, I was like, look, what have you... Because she just lays there.
Right.
She's just like, oh. Like,
yeah. I would have
her jump
up. I
was kind of disappointed in myself that I didn't pop her. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like that's... I really... You know what I mean? I gave her a good one.
Yeah, yeah. I would make her jump up and run to the bathroom. That's what I would do.
You do the play. Yeah. I'm acting out. That's good times. So I think that if somebody, and then I would be worried that my toy, what if it was not exciting enough? Like, what if it's too crazy? Like, you know, it's got spikes on it and stuff. And people are like, what the hell is that? Or what if it's not? What if it's just something very simple?
What if there was a knock on the door right now and it turns out you had an inflatable baby that you didn't know about and that she had become inflatable pregnant?
Yeah.
And that you now had to add an extra, and it was black.
Ooh. Well, it's interesting because I did not mention the skin color of my partner.
Oh, no.
And if it was a black child, I would get to unfortunately look at that child and say, I am not the father. Because if you notice your toe-headed, slightly deflated mother, you know, she's... She's birthed a child. Things have changed. She's literally deflated a little.
Oh, no.
Why is it that when I have a pre-taped interview to play for an author and a book, this show takes a sudden turn? I really, Scott, if you're listening.
No, listen, you chose that.
I know. I didn't mean to. If you're listening, Scott, my apologies.
I am very sorry.
But he has a great book. So anyway.
Well, at least we know they're tuned in.
Yeah.
Who can shut this off?
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. So I think it would be like I would be worried about people, you know, judging my sex toy is what all I was trying to say from that. But then there's like one more part of this and then we'll be done.
I spoke to a district representative today. The story was much the same. Why is this teacher still in class on campus?
I can't give you details about that because it's an ongoing investigation.
The reason given? Privacy concerns. You say that you have an obligation to protect the employee.
Yes. Now, this you could hear. Listen to the pause after this publicist answers this question from the reporter, because this reporter is so excited after this moment because you could tell she's setting her up.
You say that you have an obligation to protect the employee.
Yes.
No, I'm going to play one more time. I'm sorry. I walked on it.
You say that you have an obligation to protect the employee.
Yes.
Do you have an obligation to protect your students?
Ba-boom! Oh, fuck you, bitch! Yeah! Hashtag drop the mic!
That'd be awesome if the reporter just dropped the mic.
Walk away!
But listen to this. Listen to the publicist.
Absolutely. And student safety is of utmost priority to us. But we can't reveal, under state law and under our board policy, we can't reveal details of an ongoing investigation into an employee.
You see what she did there? I feel like this chick doesn't get enough credit in her. This is why it sucks to be a publicist, because usually if you're called in, it's because somebody did something fucking stupid and you have to fix it and make it sound normal. And every time I hear this, this chick like nails this.
Absolutely. And student safety is of utmost priority to us, but we can't reveal, under state law and under our board policy, we can't reveal details of an ongoing investigation into an employee.
Because it just, I can't help, it sounds sincere, but if you listen, she's not saying anything that makes sense to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to me, I get that she's like, absolutely, but the way she's like, this is all kind of off the cuff. I mean, I'm sure she had a game plan and knew what they were going to come at her for.
Right.
But she kind of purposefully.
She's coming out of a toilet stall. She was ambushed.
She walked into it like, you know, do you feel a need to protect your students? You know what I mean? She walked into that. But I just love.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes, of course. I want to help you, but I can't.
I understand that. Why is the teacher still on campus, though?
I can't talk about that because that's part of the ongoing investigation.
Ongoing investigation. Now, this is a police squad I would like to be a part of, because these are not police officers that are investigating. You know what I mean? Whatever the internal affairs is of the public education system, this has to be just a crackpot squad of, like, you know, just big buckets of fucking go get them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With all the chicks banging students and everything going on in the world, and now you got, you know, Dillweed here taking pictures of dildos and kids.
Yeah, it's a student victim unit.
Gung, gung.
Right. And it's like Ron Jeremy, the captain.
Yeah, I like the idea of Ron Jeremy.
Be careful out there.
God damn it, Tubbs! You guys tore up all the cafeteria trying to bust that perp. Oh, now that's a great satire of a buddy cop movie. I would like to see these guys who investigate it. So I got a huge kick out of that story. I hope you did. We're running out of time already. I got to play this interview. It's a fantastic author. His name is Scott Beeson. I had his book in here. Yes, here it is. It's called Working Dad Survival Guide, How to Succeed at Work and at Home. So right now, enjoy my talk with him.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Hey, this is Justin again. For anybody who is here just tuning in and you were referred by Scott Beeson's Twitter, I do apologize to you. There is no need to tune into this episode. I'm sure there might be another link coming down the pipe if we are able to work something out. I want to first say that I am in no way offended at all. But I received word today, the day that we released this episode, I'm recording this about 8 hours after this episode was originally released, that because of Scott's position at his job and what he does, that he could not be affiliated with the content of the show. So I'm very worried that some part of the tone of my voice will seem agitated or condescending in any way or unappreciative of him taking the time. That is not my intent at all. But what I did want to say, because it's come up a lot, I've recently noticed a few reviews on iTunes, and I've done a couple interviews on some other podcasts that are clean, and they seem to, even on the list where we were the top six dad podcasts out there, they said, you know, it's inappropriate. And I just want to be clear in that and say this show does not have the content it does for the sake of shocking people or for the sake of offending people. My honest intent with the, I don't know what you want to say, vulgar or inappropriate nature of the show is that I feel so much of your life as a parent, especially today, has become about your children's entertainment. You spend so much time watching shows and listening to things that are age appropriate for your children. And since the tone of this show seemed to naturally, organically, as a better way of putting it, work itself into being almost a cathartic experience for not only me, and but also for the listener. And so I just felt like it was disingenuous and dishonest for me to not speak to adults in an adult manner. And I make jokes that are inappropriate because I think that those are funny jokes. And I also think that those jokes are funny because so much, as I said, so much of my life is, you know, and I don't, it's not that I don't like them, but Pixar movies and Disney movies and, you know, Nick Jr. shows and Teen Nick shows and all that stuff. And so there was a time when I first started doing this show with Bill that we saw the numbers growing really quick and we would curse. And I realized that the nature of the show being a family niche or niche, however you say that without sounding pretentious, that it would behoove us having sponsors if we were clean. So we stopped cursing. We didn't really change our honesty or our transparency. We literally just stopped cursing and the numbers plummeted. It was very weird. And normally I would go, oh, well, they heard, because we were only like four episodes in, maybe five, I think, or maybe it was nine. I don't know. But it was, we weren't double digits, and the number, the show was growing fast, and it could have been that people were like, oh, I listened to like nine episodes and I just thought it was garbage, so I stopped listening. But here's the thing: we went back to cursing, and the numbers started coming back. And the weird thing about podcasts is that most people, they subscribe to them, so there's, this is just automatically dumped onto your phone. Very few of you, I imagine, you know, go and seek the show out. So I took that to mean that the parents were on board. The parents that listened to the show were on board with what I'm doing. Now, this is not a reflection of Scott or his book. Again, to plug his book, it's Scott Beeson. His book is The Working Dad Survival Guide, How to Succeed at Work and at Home. I really honestly think this is a good book. And especially if you're a working dad, there are a lot of things in here that can help you. And I'm kind of a, I don't know if you've heard, I have a part-time job. So I'm kind of a working dad, but, and there, I really found a lot of stuff interesting in this book.
and especially the idea of the fatherhood network. I really, really, really thoroughly appreciated the that, and it really opened my eyes to something. But, and I don't know if this is coming from Scott or if this is coming from just the publicist or whatever, but what I found interesting was that their suggestion was to have the interview stand alone, separate from the show, and it was so that Scott could promote the show via his own social media and everything. Now, I understand that, and I appreciate that, because Scott has a lot of Twitter followers. He's a published author with a very successful blog. And I don't want to sound frustrated or angry, because I'm not. I'm just trying to really choose my words carefully, and I'm not very good at it. Hence this conversation I'm having with you now. And I talked to Natalie, my wife, about it, and because I was afraid that I was coming across as being unappreciative or egotistical. It's one of my biggest fears, that I will be pompous or arrogant and have confidence without something to stand on behind it. And the fact of the matter is that while I appreciate Scott and his work, if either him or his brand or his publicist do not appreciate my work, I am not offended. I am not angry, but I just don't get it, to be honest. I get that he can't, he's a college professor. He can't be associated with something like that. I can wrap my mind around that easily, but the idea of it, you know, may, and I think this might have just been them trying to have a way to compromise it so that the time we spent interviewing, and I don't know, I'm really speculating, and that's entirely unfair, but the time we spent interviewing isn't a mutual waste of time. In that, you know, my time's wasted, now we just have this 30 minutes of talking that's going to go out and never be heard again. But for me, and please tell me via Facebook or email if you're listening to this, to me, the people that listen to this show, they like that humor. And you don't have to like it. I don't expect you to like it. But I really appreciate the people that listen to the show. And I'm, as the show is growing and we're getting emails from guests that want to be on, it's a very difficult thing for me to learn. We got another person from a series, like a major series, that wants to come on the show. And I want to have them on the show. But I don't want to change the show. And I believe that the listeners of this show have a lot to gain from Scott's book. And I believe that Scott has a little to gain, not a lot. We're not, you know, it's not Good Day America or whatever, Good Morning America or Today. It's, you know what I mean? We're not Corolla. We don't have his numbers. But it is a niche market, and it is a targeted thing to spread the word about his book. Again, Scott Beeson, The Working Dad's Survival Guide, How to Succeed at Work and at Home. I really do recommend this book. There's no sarcasm at all in that. I think it's a great book. But I think that he has something to gain from having his word spread, and that's what I would have thought. I would have thought, well, what difference does it make? And the only reason, normally if we have a guest on, I will put the guest name, and that's how I will title in the episode. And the email I got from the publicist is that there was a concern because the title of this episode that we came up with after the facts is Sex Toy Extra Credit, because we just spent 40 minutes doing what I thought was very funny stuff. I mean, there are a few times where I walk away from the show and go, that was really funny. We really hit something there that was really solid and good. And so, yeah. So to make it clear, I don't plan to stop being inappropriate or offensive. That's not on the docket. That's not to say that I can't change or adapt as a person, or that I'm unwilling to. That's not a permanent thing, but it is in the core of my belief that the people that tune into the show like that. And that does not make them less intelligent. That does not make them vulgar people themselves. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get the idea of saying, hey, let's talk about the book on the show, but I can't really be associated with the show. I totally understand that you can't tweet it, and that I get that. But then to say, so if we can't change the title or have it be a standalone episode, we need to remove it altogether, is kind of a like, well, I don't get it, because I don't know. But I like Scott. I think he's a great guy. And even though I don't understand the situation, I still think I believe in doing the right thing. And if I believe in the content that Scott has created, then I will still continue to spread the word about it. So I really don't want in any way, shape, or form, any of you listening, if you're offended by this, if you feel like some kind of weird Big Brother sense where you're like, we will protect you, judges, you know, screw this guy. No, no, no. If you want to help me out, then honestly, just listen to what I am saying about the book right now. It's got some great themes in it. Let me go through the introduction because we talked about it in the interview. Here's the overall themes of the book. Knowing that most other dads struggle with the same issues you do. So there's a section of the book that covers that. Who couldn't stand to read something about that? Consciously thinking through our work, life, and financial priorities. That's a huge thing. I mean, I know I joke about having a part-time job, but it is different for me. It is an uncomfortable thing for me to be relying on my wife. And not that I'm not more than happy with my position at the station. I love it there, and I'm learning so much from these people and so thankful to work with such a fantastic group there. And I know this sounds like I'm blowing tremendous amounts of sunshine, but I really am really fortunate. But the fact of the matter is that the wage that I agreed to accept is not enough to sustain my family. So therefore, I am put in a position where I feel like I want to make sure I'm not a sandbag. And so I have to make those kinds of life, work, and financial priorities that Scott talks about here. The third theme focuses on things we can do at our workplace. The next one, what we could do in our family lives to maximize our effectiveness as fathers. And then the big one, like I said earlier, my call, this is Scott speaking, my call for informal fatherhood networks. He talks about how they have like a beer fire where the guys get together and they, you know, everybody brings like a six pack and they just sit and there's a fire pit and they chat. And sometimes they talk about sports. Sometimes they talk about their kids, and it's great. It's a great way to network. It's a great way to just kind of bond with people over similar experiences. And it's interesting because I believe as men, we're not naturally wired to seek that out. I mean, we crave bonding, but we don't crave, we're not icebreakers, I guess, if that makes sense. So I don't want anybody to go after. I don't want anybody to say any ill will. If you think that I have misrepresented or have said something bad because that is not my intent, feel free to send me an email and point that out to me, because, again, that was not my intent at all. I really honestly do. I love talking to Scott, and I understand where he's coming from. I just can't. Just like he's representing his brand, I am going to represent mine. And my brand is an honest, humorous, inappropriate approach and reaction to parenting. That's what I think that happens here with Paco and I. So enough of me babbling. I appreciate you guys taking the time. And I am sorry if this was incredibly boring to you. But again, the book, Scott Beeson, The Working Dad Survival Guide, How to Succeed at Work and at Home. I just now realized that. If they don't want to be associated with the show, you moron, then why do you keep promoting the book? Maybe he doesn't even want this. I don't know. I don't know what to do then. And I apologize for that, Scott. If you just wanted to be removed, like he's fucking hearing this. So we're going to wrap up the show. It already took me like four times Adobe Crash just for me to record this. And I got off work early from the station so I could come. Here's the thing. I'm honest. I'm honest to a flaw. I got off work early today so I could come home and have time with the family. And so I came out here because I didn't. I get it. I get what it's like to have something that you're passionate about and work hard for it and to have it misrepresented or tainted in some way. I get that. And that's why I'm here recording this 8 hours after we release the episode to fix this and make it better. And if I in some way have made it worse, that was not my intention. So without further ado, let's wrap it up. We'll go back to Paco and I pretending as if we just heard me and Scott talk about his book. And And we are back. Thank you, Scott Beeson. Again, the book, The Working Dad's Survival Guide, How to Work or How to Succeed at Work and at Home.
That's very cool.
It was
gives
fun.
Us all something to think about.
Paco joking because he did not hear it in the magic of podcast. I will pull back the curtain. I will pay attention.
You're faster. I was doing it for Scott.
You sold it so well. Some
would
say your bullshitting skills are incomparable, Paco.
Yes, thank you. I should be a publicist.
So I think that's it. Here's the thing. I will give you the option. We already did an episode Tuesday. We had the fantastic guest, Jonathan Mangum, who was here. If you missed that, if you're new to the show, definitely go check out the episode that was released on Wednesday the 10th. That was with Jonathan Mangum of Let's Make a Deal. Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
He was on the bucket list.
It was terrific watching you guys spar.
Yes.
Do your improv thing.
So we could do a story or we could do another moment of the week. It's up to you, Paco. I leave it to you.
Well, I kind of have a half a moment of the
half
week.
Half a moment
so
of the week.
Do
Let's
that.
Do another moment of the week, bitch.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
All right, you are up, Paco.
Okay, so, as previously mentioned, I believe Diego had his wisdom teeth out, and he was very concerned. I mean, he was worried about the whole thing and how was it going to be and so on and so forth. And it was a day we were very busy, so one of us dropped him, and then the other one came to the offices, and the other ones ran away, and it was lots of back and forth. But in any case, I wasn't there when he was done and coming out and getting home. I was waiting at home, getting things ready. And he was very concerned that he would say something that was viral video worthy under.
He thought you were going to exploit him.
Yeah, he was like, somebody has to videotape me. It has to be videotaped.
Oh, he said he wanted it, but he was afraid of what he would say.
He was just worried that he would say it and that it wouldn't get recorded. So,
really?
Yeah, it was very important.
Look at the time where it's like now what happens now when you have dental surgery, right. Another milestone in his life is that time I had oral surgery and my parents recorded me while I was on propofol or whatever it is.
Well, or in his case, the time I had it and my parents didn't because I don't think Luna pressed any record button on any. Now, if it had been Dad, I'd have had it going from the minute I got him.
You would have had a GoPro mounted in the Prius.
Yeah, I'd have driven with one hand with the thing pointing at the back seat. Whole way.
This would have been the
him.
One video with that the penultimate joke is when you crash the car.
Right.
You get slapped around. Yeah.
After he says nothing for 20 minutes.
Yeah, he just staring
sleeps
out the window.
Drooling on himself. In any case, so he got home. I got it on and got a little recap from him, and he didn't say anything miraculous or hilarious. Nothing went on there. So finally I went, screw this, and I turned it off. And now it's time for him to go down the hallway. He was going to, lie in my room. So there's a baby gate in the way because of all the dogs and all of the nonsense. There's baby gates because I'm not going to be able to get down the hallway with the baby gate. So I said, all right, hold on.
He sounds like your father when he's under anesthetic.
Yeah, well, he sounded just slightly drunk or he was just a little slow. And so he said, that is in my way. And I said, all right, I'll go get Dad and Mom will help you down the hall. So I take the gate and I move it to the side and I click it up on the other thing. But now I'm physically in the hallway. And I said, okay, the gate's down, but maybe my ass is in your way. And he said, not more than it usually is. That's what my heart sang when he said that. Because I'm like, even just Blotto
the only way
had a line.
If he just goes... Still got it.
And, of course, no one was videotaping that. So that was the one thing he said that was...
That's awesome.
That was worth it. There was one other little thing he said, which was, so we get him in the bed, and then it was time to lie. You know, it was like, Luna was running around doing all the nursemaid stuff. And she got him started on something, but then she didn't have the other stuff ready. And so she started running around doing the other things. He says... You'd think she would have done that before we started.
Gets a little, little saucy.
Yeah, he was. so Anyway, I thought he was.
I don't know why, but your son under anesthetic kind of sounds like Bane to me.
Yeah, well, there's that. Yeah. I
think you would have done that before we started. Not more than it normally is.
Anyway.
Oh, that's good times.
Yes.
Mine, I have two. The one not really for Jacob, but I am going to substitute Jacob for my dear, dear wife. The I don't know. I may have mentioned it this show, but I have a part-time job now. And I'm working upwards of 29 hours, sometimes anywhere from 12 to 29. I don't know. And that's its own stress.
Yes. Sure. It is on me. I look over and I go, I don't think he's there.
Yeah. It's.
I can't tell you how upsetting it is, how empty your house feels.
It's almost the not knowing that makes it worse.
Right.
but anyway, I just want to say, she catches a lot of hell. And my wife is, honest to God, really, really nailed it and really stepped up to help me out around the house and just in general doing things. I've had a couple moments. There was one moment recently, kind of before I started working more there, that she kind of left me hanging high and dry when her parents were here. Like, she got up and made breakfast, right? And so it was hilarious because this is the first time when I can't believe we haven't talked about this. The in-laws came, and this is the first time Natalie was off the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
So she was cooking all the meals. And so I had to go work. And so it was actually kind of great, but it was the first time that she had been more of a, I'm ready for your emails, feminist, but more of a stereotypical mom in that sense. Right. So it was great but I still was her support. You know what I mean?
I don't think what you said about mothers was offensive. I think what you said about feminists was offensive.
I hate feminists.
Yeah, well, there you go. Now you have something to write about, bitches.
I look forward to your emails, bitches. That's a good term for you, hoes.
God. Send your cards and letters too.
I don't think any here's the thing. I don't think any stupid feminists listen to feminists listen to the show. I think that obviously there are moms here that are very proud. Like, I got some flack because I said some mom couldn't park her SUV in a parking spot or whatever.
Okay, but did you say every mom can't park?
That's what I meant. No, I did not.
I'm gonna
say
stop
that.
Trying to help you.
That's what I said. So this mom, I think, wrote in the chat room or sent me an email and said, you know, I parked my car just fine. And I can't even remember if I even responded. But my thought was, I'm not meaning everyone. I'm just saying, this is where I think everybody gets hung up on this stupid bullshit. You're raising your hand.
I am. I have gotten out of my car to parallel park for someone who was blocking my way on a street. And that wasn't a man, and it has never been a man, and it probably never will be a man.
Well, a man would never ask. They would just stop.
No one asked.
Hold up the traffic.
She was just she was ruining everything for everyone's day. Was going to the toilet, and I got out, and I said, listen, maybe that's awesome. Can do that for you.
But
I'm not even good at it.
Here's what I'm saying.
It's twice as long.
When people get offended by this bullshit, where it's like, oh, I can park a car, you're misunderstanding. What I am referring to is the majority of the idiots who can't, you are elite. You are special in the sense that you can do it.
Right.
It's just the same thing. It's like me getting offended because everybody thinks it's so cool how I take care of the kids. Like, you know what I mean? My mother-in-law's constant condescending fucking compliments. She's so lucky to have you. You know, her father never did anything. He never did anything. Right. Yeah, except
it's
for fucking much, work all the time
it's
to support
a chance
you.
To half-ass compliment you as it is to tear him down.
Exactly.
Right. She takes that more.
Yeah, she takes two of us out at once is what she does. He's a piece of shit, and I'm condescending to you. Win! Nailed it! Yeah! What were we doing? Moment of the week. That's right.
I have no idea.
I'm talking about how great my wife is.
Just
good job, Justin.
Yeah.
So anyway, my point was is that the Monday after when they were leaving, she had to go back to work, and they were going to leave. And so I was gone. I work a part-time job, and sometimes I do an eight-hour shift. That's like a quarter of the hours that I'm allowed.
Right.
Some would say 30% if they knew how to do math. And anyway, so I come in to make breakfast for everybody. My wife, who had been there all day, I had been working.
Yeah.
Like a man for once. And so there was nothing to cook for her. And I lost my shit, you know, because I was like, so let me get this straight. I made three runs to the grocery store so you could make breakfast and fucking soup for them. And yet when it's time for me to do it on your own, asshole, it couldn't be more of a better example of how she's kind of like, I don't know how this works day to day, but gets to step in and be the hero.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I always imagine
it wasn't even any crepes.
It's like the hot guy on those do-it-yourself shows who wears the choker and his spiked hair. He's coming in like he hits two nails. Meanwhile, right. all the fucking beer gutted guys that actually build that fucking deck
yeah.
and look like real men are once sweating there for like 28 hours straight because right. they have to build a deck in 2 fucking days.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, he's back at a Courtyard Marriott in some bumfuck place in the Midwest. Anyway.
Right.
Moment of the week. So anyway, I just wanted to say, the point of all that was to say, my wife is really awesome, and she's we had a little fight about that, but she's been great. And I have almost been embarrassed and appreciative at the same time, if that makes sense. I'm trying not to get out in my own way about that, to where yeah. I'm like, well, now I'm a loser because she's actually doing stuff. Like, what is my self-worth?
Right.
But I want to say thank you to my wife. But the big thing was, we went and we actually did it today. And this is an example of her, the difference between her and me too. We went to the little preschool graduation.
Oh yeah.
Which I think is horseshit. I mean, listen, I'm all for kids being cute and let's all do it. But you know what I mean? I don't know. Okay, you graduated fucking finger painting. And that's not what they're doing, but to be fair. This, yeah, they're learning like yeah. fucking continents and stuff.
This is
they're actually
pre-K.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I go there and Natalie says, we have to be there. Now the show starts at 9. They want the kids there at 9. Yeah, the show starts at 9:30.
Natalie wants to for Hollywood.
They did Sound of Music. Oh, you laugh.
Oh my God.
So Natalie wants to be there at 8:40 in the morning. And I go, why? She goes, so we can get good seats. I go, it's not fucking Van Halen. It's going to be some toddlers being drowned out by a boombox of fucking Michael Bolton singing Sound of Music. Like, it's not going to be. And she's like, nope, we got to get there so I can make the. And she's a good mom and everything. Right. And so we get there and we watch it. And freaking Jack, she got him a little button up white shirt and he had a tie on and his pants.
Oh, my goodness.
And he got out of that minivan. And there were some people there waiting. Yeah. And dude put his arms on his waist and walked around like a building inspector. Like, you know what I mean? Just kind of like looking around at nothing. Doesn't even know what the fuck he's looking right. at. Like,
well,
he's
it
just,
does sound like a building.
Just, exactly. That's what I mean. He's just looking around going, yeah. I do a lot of tongue movement in the mouth.
Oh, my goodness. He must have felt so proud.
Oh, my gosh. He felt like, you know how you kind of put on a suit as a grown man?
Right,
you talked about it with Diego. He puts on the suit and he's kind of like, oh, I feel good.
But
you
he's
know?
Doing that at much younger. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were sure to let him know he'd accomplish nothing, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I did in front of everybody is I pantsed him.
Right.
But I thought that was extra adorable and awesome. So that was our show. Ran out of time quick. I apologize for that one. Tune in next Tuesday, 10 a.m. Pacific. You can listen live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. Very funny mom coming on the show. Somebody I met through my voiceover workshops, improv lady, Amanda Allen Clark. She's going to be coming in on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Next Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific. Jeff Meacham, who you've heard on the show, but now we get to say from ABC's Black-ish.
Oh, yes.
Jeff Meacham will be on the show Friday, 10 a.m. So if you have questions for Dr. J, send those in to show at the Dad Podcast or question, whatever, just Facebook. I don't fucking care. Also, you can leave a voicemail. I got an update. I can't remember it, though. But the mom who's Lori, who sent in, or Laura, I'm sorry, who sent in about the bagels and the boobs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's another update. Like, I get the kid said something like, I have little boobs, but you have big boobs.
Right, right. She's like,
and it's funny because I always think, this is what I like about this show, is that, and this is how I want it to be. I want all the listeners to feel comfortable because these are, I think, kind of stories where I would say to people and they kind of go, you know, they give you a look.
Right.
But I like that she sent that in and then she goes, what's wrong with my kid? And I was like, nothing. This kid is awesome.
Yeah, right.
So, like, it's weird, I'd imagine, because it's like, I could get what she's saying. She doesn't really care. She's not uptight about it.
Yeah.
But she's like, what if I should be uptight about it? It's like, like everybody's afraid. Like, so your son likes tits. Big fuck everybody.
Right.
Everybody.
Yeah, seriously.
So guess what? He's also normal. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
And as my therapist
said. She should have brought him into the champagne room is what she should have done.
Jesus.
She lost a chance to make a couple of bucks.
It's very interesting when you can make me feel uncomfortable. I almost feel like that's where I feel like maybe we're crossing a line here. But that's hilarious. As my therapist said, they call it an Oedipus complex for a reason. So don't worry about it.
I have an assignment for the parents, by the way, because I know you're blasting through the goodbyes. I don't know. There's probably not a lot of them, but we probably have a few parents of teenagers out there. I hope so anyway. Or what am I doing here? I want them to go get from their teenager's drawer their sex toys and do a selfie for them.
Oh!
I'd love to see that.
So get the teenager's sex toy.
Yeah, turn it around on them.
Oh, listen. I would really like, because here's the thing. They probably don't have sex toys. Right. And nobody with a, especially a guy with a daughter is not. But if you got a son and you want to, you know what I mean? And you want to hold up the rubber that he's hanging onto, hoping that he can use one day. I kind of think that's, if the kid doesn't know, you know what I mean? Like if you could do it, just kind of like, ding, you know what I mean? That would be a Jimmy Kimmel, eat your kids Halloween candy-esque stunt.
And if it's, if you do have a daughter and she's got something that's going to make you, you know.
No, don't. I don't want to see anything with your daughters.
No, no, no. I'm saying just get some hot sauce.
Yeah.
No, don't do that. And it'll never happen again.
You did it again. Why would you do that to these poor girls? Oh my gosh, Paco. And email it. Don't send it on Twitter or anything like that if you do decide to be so ballsy. No, I don't want anything with your daughters. I don't that'll skeeve me out. But if you want to take a picture of the rubber that your son has been hiding and hoping and you know it's there but you don't talk about it, or you just want to send me an email saying, yeah, we're them, I like that.
And officially I was joking. You've turned it into an actual request.
No such thing as jokes here. You could find it, follow, give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. We recently broke 700.
Oh,
as I mentioned before, so I would like to shoot for 800 and then obviously 1,000. You can follow Paco on the Instagram, call_of_Dooley, where you can see pictures that he takes here during the show constantly where it distracts me and I pretend not to notice. So every time you see my eyes looking into his phone, it's because I'm sitting there going, don't break what you're saying and pretend to not smile at this picture. Follow the show on Twitter and me on Twitter. All that is in the description of this episode. Do me a favor, please. Go to iTunes. Check out Justin is Married, Booker is Single. And while you're there, tell three people about this fantastic show. Recently, if you follow the show on Twitter, I think it's called at Policy Genius. I guess it's a blogger. I am not familiar with their work, but I definitely agree with their Twitter handle. As I said on Twitter, they ranked this fantastic show as one of the top six parenting podcasts or podcasts for dads.
Oh, that's great.
And they said Justin is used to entertaining people. And while he may not be helpful, you definitely, at least you'll have to pull over to the side of the road so you don't crash and wipe the water from your eyes.
Hey,
so,
listen, I'll take a win. That. Yeah, that's great.
I definitely take that as a win.
That's great.
So thank you to them for that fantastic mention. And then Paco's going to tell you about our fantastic Amazon banner.
You're damn right I am. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to the Dad Podcast website and you're going to scroll down to the bottom and right there it's going to be a big, beautiful Amazon banner. When you click on that banner, it's going to take you straight on through to Amazon. There's a world of good stuff on there. What you're going to do is you're going to bookmark that Amazon website. And every time you return to that magical, marvelous place, you are going to use that bookmark. And every time you buy something, they're going to send us a little bit. It's not going to cost you anything. That's the important thing you have to remember. It costs you nothing. And it helps us a lot. It means a great deal to us. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Haas Cartwright. on behalf of Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, the fantastic author of the book, Scott Beeson, M.D.,
read
PhD.
That book.
That's not right. Scott Beeson, PhD, The Working Dad Survival Guide, How to Succeed at Work and at Home, available now. Check that out. This is Justin Warsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, everyone.